Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 555, which is super fun to say, I'm welcoming back to the show my friend, Cynthia Yanoff.
Maybe that's the best parenting advice I ever got. What do you want him to look like at 25? And what are you doing now? And how is that going to play into it? And so that's kind of been the scale that I've tried to step back and look at that and say, okay, is it going to matter when they're 25 that they were in this friend group or not? Is it going to matter that they pitched in this game or not? Is it going to matter? And if you can step back and think about it, and for me, like, I want my kids at 25, I want them to be kind and I want them to be humble and I want them to love the marginalized. Like, I want those things for them. And so how do I elevate that? How do I pivot towards that? Even though we're still going to do the things that have to be done every day, but in a culture that's going to tell you that the most important things are the temporary things, we got to pivot towards knowing the most important things are the eternal things.
Cynthia is a mom of three. She's a speaker. She's an author of the books Life is Messy, God is Good, and How'd I Miss That, her newest book coming out in February. She's a podcaster. She has her own show, Mesmerized. She helps out with Feeding the Mouth That Bites You, and she co-hosts a show with me called Sidetracked. If you haven't listened to that, definitely go check it out. Today, we're talking about parenting with perspective. She and I have older kids, and this is why I had Cynthia come on the show. She is still parenting a younger one who's in third grade. And so today we're talking about what has she learned, what really mattered and what didn't. And because she's still in the thick of it, I felt like she was a valid source for you, because sometimes I can put on the rose-colored glasses and be like, oh, it was just all so great. Why can't you guys enjoy it more? And be a little judgy, which is not the goal for today. We also talk a little bit about friendships, and I even asked Cynthia some hosting tips at the end because she is the hostess with the mostest. All right, let's get right to it. Here we go. Cynthia, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Well, it's so nice to meet you, Heather.
And the third time's a charm with the intros, our poor editor. Cynthia and I have known each other a while, and we actually co-host another podcast that we used to have over here on Don't Mom Alone. If you haven't listened in a moment, or you just started listening, we have a different show called Sidetracked, and we're very off the cuff.
That's being generous, but yes, off the cuff. We'll call it that.
Like, I kept thinking, oh, I need to tell Cynthia about this, and I'll tell her about this. No, this is a professional interview with a famous author, the Cynthia. And if you haven't heard me talk with Cynthia before, why don't you take a second and introduce yourself so people know a little bit more about you?
Would you have laughed if it was Max Lucado or somebody that is a famous author? Would you have been like, famous author?
Yeah. What's so funny is he's my next guest.
Is he really? Yeah. I love him so much.
Yeah, famous authors, left and right.
Famous authors, Yanoff, Lucado, said no one ever in the same sentence.
Yes.
Yeah, I am, yes, Cynthia Yanoff. I've been married to my husband, Mike, for 25 years. We have three children, one that just got out of college and headed to law school. She's 21. We have maybe 22. I apologize. We have one that just is a freshman in college. He's 18. And then we have, brace yourself, everybody, we have a nine-year-old. So we're talking post-grad, a college kid, and a third grader, which is why I say almost every time I speak somewhere, I am doing math facts and menopause at the same time, and that's not anybody's best.
It's not. It's hard, but at the same time, you have this gift of perspective while you're parenting. And so you have a new book called How'd I Miss That to add to your repertoire of amazing, your library, if you will.
I think two books hardly makes a library, but thank you. Yeah.
How'd I Miss That? Gas Pump Confessions, Drive-Thru Obsessions, and Figuring Out What Really Matters. And so I thought today you could provide some perspective and help to the moms listening. And I got this idea from the pediatric dentist waiting room.
Well, now we need to know what happened.
So I'm in there. It's the last day of the holiday break.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all having feelings.
Long break. Mm-hmm.
And you and I have different feelings now than when our kids were little. We have college kids that are still home. And we're like, okay, you can go. It's good. We had good times. Mm-hmm. Memories were made. It's time to go. But when they were younger, do you remember the stress? And I saw it on this poor mom. There are two elementary kids, a boy and a girl. If you're listening, I'm not judging. I more saw myself in you. And she was done. She was done with their sibling rivalry stuff. They're fighting that she'd taken away screens. She just literally was constantly micromanaging every little thing they did. And I was like, that was me. And nobody's happy. She wasn't happy. They're not happy. But I feel like I can say that now from where I'm sitting, because I'm not in it every day. And I can be like, oh, they're just so precious. Just enjoy them. That doesn't really matter. You're kind of in both worlds. So what would you say to that?
You sound like a grandmother. They're so precious. I mean, is there anything worse than when my mom says this to me? I love my mom, but she'll say, well, you're going to miss all those dirty clothes. You're going to miss those drives to practice. And I'm going to be like, maybe, but it ain't today. I ain't missing it today. So yeah, I feel it on both sides of that. Yeah. And I would just say perspective goes a long way, doesn't it? And you and I were kind of talking about this, like with the title of my new book being How'd I Miss That? And just writing hopefully funny anecdotes, but real truths on things we miss that seems so obvious. And so when you were talking about it, you're like, what are some of the how'd I miss it moments, right? In parenting.
Yeah.
And as you're saying that, I'm like, here's one. This is the shallow one of the day. Don't punish your kids by taking away screens, people. You punished yourself. That's the end. Thank you for having me.
I mean, there was one moment where all three of them were just sitting on a bench waiting, and I'm playing a game with Knox on my phone, and we're like, figuring it out together, and we're like laughing, and they're just miserable sitting on the bench. And I thought, I didn't know she'd taken away screens at that point. I thought she was a mom who was like, Sir reads a lot, or I don't know. I was having different thoughts. The whole time I never judged the kids for their behavior.
Yeah. You judged the mom.
Well, I didn't judge the mom. I noticed the mom.
You notice. Well, somewhere right now, she's on a podcast talking about this mom of teenagers that was like sitting on screens. And no, but in all seriousness, I know your heart, and I hope everyone knows mine too, is like, listen, parenting's it's a hard job, and there's no formula. And so we're all doing the best we can. And one of the things I think that is helpful is to have people that are further along to be able to say like, hey, I know you can't see it this moment, but if I could just very tenderly and gingerly tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey, that's not going to matter. And so you and I were talking about this, and you're like, hey, let's talk about your book. How'd I miss that? Like, let's talk about it from the perspective, right, of parenting. And the first thing that came to my mind, are you ready for my first point, or am I just launching into it?
I would love to hear your first point if it wasn't the don't take away screens. That was just
joking. No, this is 1B. But I would say one of the things that I think now as a mom of a 21-year-old all the way down to elementary school is what feels most important in the moment almost never is. And I think that's one of those things it's easy to say and you're like, well, what does that exactly mean? And so let me tell you how that kind of looks. I think back to I married Mike right when we got out of law school. And Mike played college baseball. Back in the day, he played college baseball. And so he's very into sports and athletic, and he breeds athletic kids. And I am not athletic, Heather. You know that. I can barely walk. And so I defer.
There have been big walking goals that have been missed.
Yes, big. Yeah. And so I remember when Kate, first child, moment of silence, everybody, for the first children and how hard we parent them, right? And I remember when she was about 7, Mike called me and he's like, we need to sit down and talk about something with Kate I'm concerned about. And I was like kind of panicky. I'm like, oh gosh, what is it? And he's like, listen, you know, she's playing softball on this little neighborhood rec team. And he's like, I think we need to put her in select. And I was like, wait, she's 7. And he's like, Cynthia, the game is going to pass her by. Now, we still laugh about this so hard about him saying the game was going to pass her by at 7. But in that moment, he really felt that. Like, that was the urgency of like, we can't not get it right here. And some people will relate to that, but many of you will relate to whatever that thing is that seems most urgent. If it's like, you know, college resume stuff or family vacations or whatever, a partner play or the right friend group, whatever, there's always something that seems most important. And you know what? It typically isn't. And so what I would say about that is you kind of have to live in the in-between moments of what seems most important and realize that everything surrounding what seems most important is what matters. And so back to giving you an example of that, back to sports, because that's what I know here with my children. But my son, Brett, played baseball all the way through high school. He just graduated last year. And baseball was so important. And we did all the things. And he pitched. And he even had Tommy John surgery. And everything was all these years. But right now, in this very moment, in my home, on the second floor, in his room, sitting on his bookcase, is a glove that is getting dust. It's getting dust on it because he doesn't play in college. Those days are over. And those are sad days. But here's the thing I realized. Like, yes, it was fun. And I'm glad we did all the baseball stuff. But he's not going to remember the times that I was scrubbing the white pants and I was packing the cooler and all that. He's going to remember what I said that time he got benched in a critical moment in the game. And he's not going to remember like how his freshman team placed in district, but he's going to remember the conversations we said about humility and the conversations about respecting your coach. And is he going to remember trying out for his first select team and making it or not? Probably not, but he's going to remember how Mike talked to the kid that got his spot. And you see what I'm saying? It's like the in-between, like the lessons, they outlive the game. And so whatever that thing is that seems most urgent, I've had them all, Heather. Like, I know you have too. I have had my husband stay up all night to get him in the air quote, right preschool. And I've anguished over, you know, the right friend groups. And did they get in the school play? Well, not really, because my kids aren't good at that stuff. But yours are.
That'd be
yeah. But, you know, I've done all these things that seem most important. And I would say a really good way to step back from that is to consider, what do you want them to do or look like or be like at 25? Maybe that's the best parenting advice I ever got. What do you want them to look like at 25? And what are you doing now? And how is that going to play into it? And so that's kind of been the scale that I've tried to step back and look at that and say, okay, is it going to matter when they're 25 that they were in this friend group or not? Is it going to matter that they pitched in this game or not? Is it going to matter? And if you can step back and think about it, and for me, like, I want my kids at 25, I want them to be kind and I want them to be humble and I want them to love the marginalized. Like, I want those things for them. And so how do I elevate that? How do I pivot towards that? Even though we're still going to do the things that have to be done every day, but in a culture that's going to tell you that the most important things are the temporary things, we got to pivot towards knowing the most important things are the eternal things. So there's point one, everyone.
That's very good. And I know for my moms listening who are like me, and they're, I don't think you were like this, Cynthia, because we didn't know each other when we had young kids. But I'm a teacher at heart. So every moment is this teachable moment. And that's what I picked up on in this mom in the waiting room, is she's using every moment to make sure they understand. Do you see how annoying that is to your sister? Do you see da-da-da-da-da? And that feels so important. It's not about making a team and it's not about a resume building experience. I know moms who like make either the peace in their home or the character development the most important thing. And in doing so, actually sabotage the very thing. Like, if you let the kids just work it out, would they actually be closer than you micromanaging?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
To me, I loved when one of my mentors said, Heather, you're using too many words.
Right.
Say less.
Well, and isn't that it? They're watching so often. They're watching our actions, our behaviors. What derails us? What are we putting emphasis on? Those things. And again, we're all missing the boat on any given day. There's no condemnation here from me or Heather because, I mean, we get it right. We get it wrong, some of those. But what is the trending towards? Are we trending towards things that really matter? Are we trending towards things that make them look good, that make us look good, that the culture is saying these are the things you should care about? Are we trending towards the things that are biblical? Are we trending towards the things that are eternal?
And focusing on our becoming in the process. Like, I think I'd spent so much energy on what they looked like, who they were becoming, that I got lost in the middle of it. And so I think you had mentioned there's no formula. There definitely is not a formula. Our kids are all very different from each other. My own four are so different from each other. Mm-hmm. But it's like, who was I becoming in the midst? And was I gaining perspective while I parented? Was I like, okay, so they threw a tantrum in the, am I going to be okay? I'm going to be okay. I'm a child of God. I'm going to be okay. This is not a reflection of me. This is just a moment for a overstimulated child. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, and I'd say one other thing on that. If you ever wonder, like ask your kids, especially if they're a little bit older, but say, what's the one thing that will send me over the edge? So what's the one thing we don't tolerate? What's the one thing I care the most about? It's very interesting to hear what they say. You learn a lot about yourself in that. I made the mistake asking my kids that one time and I was like, oh.
Did they say Diet Coke?
Well, that's my number one thing. I mean, two, Jesus is first. Don't be silly. No, but they did talk about how important it is to me that our house is clean and that things look a certain way. And I was like, wow, I didn't realize that that's something you're picking up on. And so it's interesting.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Bubs Natural. Now, maybe like me, your December got you off of some habits you'd put into place, or maybe you're hoping to put some habits in place in this new year, and not just to keep the same going, but maybe even to turn back the clock on your body. I've seen that as a thing you can actually do when it comes to my strength training. I use this eGym program and it shows me that when I started, I had the strength of a 60-year-old and now I have the strength of a 38-year-old. But it's not just our muscles. Did you know that as we age, those stiff joints you have, the longer recovery, the hair thinning, nails breaking, it all can be fixed because what's happening is our collagen levels drop naturally starting in our mid-20s. And collagen is this glue that holds our bodies together. That's where Bubs Natural Collagen Peptides come in, because Bubs can help restore the collagen levels closer to what your body naturally had in its youth. So you're going to feel stronger. Your hair and nails are going to grow healthier. Your skin's going to look smoother. Those are all good things. And so if you want to check it out, I would, because Bubs is different than any other collagen products. There's no junk. It's third-party tested. It mixes seamlessly into your coffee, water, smoothies without clumps, and it's sustainably sourced. It was voted 2024's best collagen by health.com. Now, if you want to live better, longer, and kick 2026 off the right way, Bubs is running a huge New Year, New You sale, plus for a limited time only. Our listeners are going to get 20% off at Bubs Naturals by using the code DMA at checkout. Just head to BUBSnaturals.com and use the code DMA and you're all set. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them our show sent you.
Point number two, and this is going to fall under the obvious, but again, the book's How Did I Miss That? And the point is, so many of these things are so obvious, how did I miss it? And here's the second one, is we've got to pray audacious prayers over our kids. And listen, I want you to know, Heather, that once in a while, some sweet, sweet, sappy woman will come up to me and say, I've been praying for my daughter's spouse since she was in the womb. And I think, well, I'm a schmuck. I mean, I've prayed maybe for Kate's husband, whoever that may be, like maybe once in fourth grade. And then I think last week I thought about it, but like, I don't have this long history. And I, as a girl who grew up in church and I believe that God can do all things, I have not prayed well over my kids historically. A quick, keep them safe. Let them make the team, those things. And in fact, I even worked for a Christian ministry for many years where I wrote prayer journals and I wrote them for many people to purchase and pray over their kids. And I wrote them because I was so bad at it. It was a tool to help myself. And so I just want to say to you, this is the beautiful thing about this, is you didn't miss the boat. It is never too late to start. Like, God honors that and you can start now. And so you know this, Heather, and if you listen to our podcast Sidetrack, then you've heard this, but my youngest, we adopted him from foster care and he struggles horrendously academically. Like, you guys, like not, oh, he didn't make the honor roll last semester, like struggles, almost 10 and cannot read well. And so we have done everything, Heather, you know this. We have hired the diagnosticians. We have transferred to a different school. We have done our own home curriculum on reading. We've done all the things. And I'm like, my goodness. And so this fall, finally, I was like, I'm just gonna have to lay this down in front of the Lord. Like, that was the last resort, apparently. So I did this Mark Batterson 40-day Devo. And there's no magic, anything to that one. But I prayed every day relentlessly for JB academically. And I mean, I prayed the, I can't believe you haven't done this already, Lord, mad prayers to, like, if he is going to do the things that I know you have for him, Lord, you have to step in and you have to do. So I prayed and prayed and prayed. It ended. And about a week before Christmas, his reading teacher calls. And when the school pops up on the phone, if you have a kid like I have, like, your heart stops. You're like, oh no, because he's a feisty one. So I was like, oh gosh. And it was one of the reading specialists. And she said, Cynthia, we just did the end of the fall testing. You're not going to believe it. We're all like celebrating over here. He went up 20 points in reading. I'm like, what? And then the next day, the math teacher called. I wasn't praying for math. Who cares? I just need him to read. Went up 19 points. Now, I tell you this not because we're just going to pray it and everything's going to work out. In this instance, 40 or 50 days in, and I saw it. But you know what? Sometimes it's 40 and 50 years. Ask the Israelites, right? I mean, it takes time, but we have got to be in the habit of praying the hard and mighty prayers relentlessly for our kids because, I mean, the author and creator of the universe wants to hear from us. He loves our kids more than us. And if we could just stop, not only did like that moment, did that change things academically for JB, but it changed things spiritually for me. Reminders that like he's there and he is for us. And it is not all about us. We don't have to carry it. We're not that important. Like hand it over. And so that's one of the things I would say is just pray really audacious prayers for your children. And we don't have to go through them. We can, but I have four or five that I really love that I've learned over the years. I wish I would have been praying all along, but just prayers that I think matter for our kids. But whatever it is, whatever you're stressing out, whatever's like doing you in at this moment, like just hand it over. Like take your 40 days or 30 days or 40 minutes. It doesn't matter. Whatever you're led to do and hand it over. And man, it feels good.
Well, like you said, it's not this miracle like rub a lamp and I get what I want. It's like changing you and it's partnering with God. We don't know. The hard things are, our kids are going to walk through hard things. That whole, what is it called? Lawnmower parenting, where you kind of clear the way so they never have a hard moment. We've learned that does not work. That does not create resilient children. And so to partner with God and be like, I don't know what you're doing here. Help me to understand. Mm-hmm. You know, if this is going to be a 40-year journey or this is going to, we're going to see results sooner, like help me with that. I mean, it definitely partnering with God and in prayer and taking any kind of anger or sadness or fear to him is like, I would definitely say now that I have older kids that 100% perspective of what matters. Like, how did I miss that? I missed it, and I would talk to a friend over talking to God about it. I missed it, and that I would stay up way too late on worrying about it on my pillow or thinking about how I was that day as a mom. It's like, how different could it have been if I just said, hey, God, I know I didn't do my best today. Mm-hmm. I know that you are sovereign and good, and you're not surprised by anything I said or did today. Can you help me to be okay? Like, can you kind of soothe my soul so I don't beat myself up so that I'm ready for tomorrow to partner with you and to love these kids well as best I can and help me know what they need today? Like any of that.
Right. And I think as you do that, like you're to your point, Heather, like you're changing yourself from the inside out as the Lord's working in their lives and you can claim the victory. Like I get to claim the victory that God did that, which I wouldn't have known if I hadn't said, I'm just going to start praying over this. Yeah. A few other prayers that I've prayed historically off and on to my kids, not since they were in womb and it wasn't for their spouse, sorry, but I've prayed that they'll get caught in their sin. I mean, that's one, if you want your kids to be close to the Lord, they need to know that they are fallen from the Lord. And boy, if you pray that, they will get caught in their sin. It ain't a pretty one. I also pray that my kids can do hard things. I pray they can stand alone. In today's culture, if you're going to stand for your faith, they're going to have to stand alone sometimes. And I'm going to have to let them. I'm going to have to not rush in there. I remember one time I kept saying to one of my kids, I heard this group's going to do this. Or these kids are going here. Why are you not going? Wait, why are you staying home? And this kid said to me, Mom, you don't want me doing the things these kids are doing. And I thought, I've been here praying that they'll stand alone and they're standing alone and I'm not letting them. And so that, and then the other two I would say is I always pray specifically for my kids, but then I always say, but bring the most, whatever brings most glory to you, Lord, not most glory to me as a parent, not most glory to them, but most glory to him. And then the last one is identity. And I know you would agree with this, Heather, but I'm not sure there's anything that is more of a gift to our kids than if they could truly, truly know their identity. We adopted JB, and when we were in court, they gave us a new birth certificate for him. And the old one was no longer valid. And so since we adopted him, whatever, 7 years ago, not once, but many times, has he not done all the things we'd hoped. You know, he's been sassy, he's been rude, or he's maybe, you know, struggled to not read or whatever the things are. But never once have we gone to the safe and pulled out the old birth certificate. We're like, well, we're going back to the old one, right? Of course not. Like, he's adopted, he's in our family. And I think that's, if we could get that through to our kids, that if you know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, you are adopted into his family. And behavior doesn't dictate identity. And so we're going to get it wrong and we're going to mess it up. And so are our kids. And if we can just get them back to understanding that your identity in Christ, it is done. And you will live differently if you understand that you are adopted into his family and you are loved despite getting it wrong, despite your actions, you live differently. And so anyway, those are the prayers I pray, but really I'm passionate about identity.
It's so good. My son was on the phone with a friend the other day and he'd gotten in a couple, he got in trouble twice and got caught both times.
Oh, yeah.
And I said out loud, well, I've been praying that you get caught. And my son was, did not think it was so funny. He's like, shh, shh, stop. I was joking around. Okay, what else you got for us? What else matters that we miss a lot?
Here's my last one I'd say in parenting, like, how'd I miss that? And I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm actually quoting my husband. He says, like, I dare say annoying. He'll listen to this, and we love him.
We love Mike.
But he says, like, all these annoying, like, sports quotes. And we're always like, our kids are like, oh. And one of them he says all the time is, trust the process. And I'm like, ugh. But I do think there's something in that for us as parents, like, trusting the process. More than anything, we're trusting the Lord, right? But I've told the story probably before. Years ago on this podcast, but stay with me for a second. I think this is actually my first book, but I have my friend from my law days. Her name was Kimberly. And a while back, she had two little ones, 5 and 3. And one day she was home with them. She's a strong Christian mom. And she felt like the Lord kept saying, teach them 911, teach them 911. And she was like, no, because they're 5 and 3. And if you teach them 911, they're going to call 911 for no reason. But finally, it's like she couldn't go about her day until she did it. So finally she did it. And she got the whiteboard and went down to the playroom and sat him down and said, here's 911, wrote it out on the little dry erase board and then explained, you know, you're going to have to answer some questions. Do you know your address? You know, this is the only time you let a stranger in the house. And she finished and she was like, well, that was weird. And the girls were looking at her like, yeah, that got weird. Like, what was that about? So they went on with her day. And later that day, she had her first and only massive seizure. And she tells the story of how the 5-year-old grabbed the hand of the 3-year-old and they ran to the game room and they got that dry erase board that wasn't erased and they brought it back and they got their mom's phone and they did all the things. They called 911 and they answered the questions and they opened the door. And they had the life-saving and life-giving information they needed in that moment, but it didn't make sense when they got it. And I think that's a metaphor for parenting because we have Jesus who knows all things. He's outside of time and space. And he's saying, listen, I'm walking you in the way. I'm instructing you in that. But many times as moms, it doesn't make sense. As we are walking this with our kids and instructing our kids and disciplining our kids and discipling our kids, it doesn't make sense in the moment. But if he has the life-saving and life-giving information that our families need, that our culture needs, then we want to trust that. And that's trusting the process that when we follow biblical truth, that it pays off. Does that mean it pays off in their behavior or we're going to be mother of the year? No, but it pays off in eternal perspective. And when we are doing the things maybe that culture isn't, when we are not allowing our kids to do the things that culture is, like you just, in the midst of it, you have to trust the process. And I always like to say, like thinking of that whiteboard with Kimberly, like she was writing down life-saving and life-giving information. And we all have a whiteboard in our life that we're writing on, you guys. And it shows up in what we freak out about and how we spend our money and how we talk about people behind their back and what we say to the kid that got our kids' role in the play. And like we're writing a story with our whiteboard, whether we want to or not. So don't we want to write one that Jesus has authored? And so I think we do that well when, very practically speaking, we anchor ourselves, kind of like what we talked about first. We anchor in the heavenly things. Like we don't worry about what seems most important in the moment. We tip the balance towards what's eternal. I think we also do that well when we pray these audacious prayers over our kids that are hard. They're going to get caught in their sin. We've all learned that one, right? And then when we just trust God, that he loves them, he is for them, he's for us, and that at the end of the day, we don't control the results. And so we just put in the process that we are called to do and let the Lord handle the rest. So those are kind of my three, like I've missed it over and over again and continue to. So I kind of go back to those.
Same again, so people remember.
Yeah, like a lawyer does. The lawyer. What are you supposed to do? You say what you're going to say, then you say it, then you repeat it, everyone.
Okay, here we go.
So what feels most important in the moment rarely is. Pray audacious prayers over your children and trust the process.
This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Branch Basics. Now, I'm going to tell you as an actual user of Branch Basics what I love. One, I love that these cleaning products are clean. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you wouldn't believe how many chemicals are in most cleaning products. And so I love that with Branch Basics, I can trust that I'm not adding junk to our home where we're breathing and living every day, eating off surfaces. Our bathrooms are cleaner. And here's the other thing I love. They make it super simple to save money on products that are clean. So they have this premier starter kit that comes with a powerful concentrate. And with that concentrate, I can make everything for cleaning my house, whether it's laundry detergent, bathroom cleaner, glass cleaner, pet wash, vegetable rinse. It's a plant and mineral-based formula. And so it is safe for babies, pets, anyone wanting to reduce your exposure to harmful chemicals. And the products work. These are great cleaning products. They keep everything tip-top. And I have four teenage boys. Okay, so there's a lot of mess going on around here. We have three pets. It's a lot. But I know I'm in good hands with Branch Basics. And with their refill model, it's even easier to keep my home clean year round. When I run out, all I need to do is restock the concentrate. And here's the really, really good news. Branch Basics is now available everywhere you shop at Target, Target.com, Amazon, and of course, BranchBasics.com. Tossing the toxins has never been more convenient. And for anyone grabbing the premium starter kit, you can still get 15% off at branchbasics.com with our code DMA. Just use the code DMA for 15% off the premium starter kit at branchbasics.com. And after you purchase, they're going to ask where you heard about them. So please make sure to mention our show. This episode is brought to you thanks to sponsors like Thrive Cosmetics. And here's what's great about me getting to share this with you in this episode is Cynthia and I are huge fans. In fact, I just delivered my favorite mascara and their Brilliant Eye Brightener to her house because I use these products every single day and they work. And we just talked about getting rid of toxins in our home. Well, one way you can do that, the biggest organ in your body is your skin. And so why not use products that are 100% vegan, cruelty-free, made with clean, skin-loving ingredients, and that work, and that give back? Because for every product you purchase, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. They've given over $150 million in product and cash donations to over 600 giving partners. A new product I've been using this week, in fact, I was wearing on this interview, is called Empower Matte Precision Lipstick Crayon. It's your lips' new best age-defying friend in 18 buildable shades. So it went on super easy. It made me feel like I was back in the day, my old teen years, when I would draw, outline my lips, and then I filled it in with the crayon. And then I even used like one of Thrive's glosses over the top just because I love a little gloss, but it's long wearing. So this weightless lip perfection formula can be worn as just a liner or layered for a bold, opaque finish. My lips looked amazing. It's lightweight. It was not sticky. You guys know. You know when you get the lipstick and it like clumps on your lips or like your lips start drying out and it looks terrible? That was not the case. The Empower Matte lasted the rest of the day after the interview, and it looked great. So amplify your everyday. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/DMA for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/DMA. I know our time is wrapping up, but I do want to say, Cynthia, yes, provides great perspective on parenting. Also, having known Cynthia, and this is the Don't Mom Alone podcast, and one of our pillars is friendship, and being a mom who depends on other women in her life and not allowing parenting battles or wars to disrupt that, I'd be curious, before we sign off, I've watched you, you've done this well as your kids are older, but when your kids were little, did you struggle at all with befriending other moms, or how did you kind of, what perspective would you give on that now? Like as moms are going through the elementary years and they're making friends with their kids' schools or church, to like make sure they foster healthy friendships that will take them through the parenting journey.
Yeah. It's like you've done this before. That's such a good question, Heather. Huh. Yeah, I would say this. I am naturally very extroverted, and so I didn't struggle as much with friendships as some. So I can't speak into that because I tend to want the more people around me, the better. But I will say something I learned the hard way is that not all friends are for all seasons when it comes to parenting. And I remember one of my friends, when my kids were little, she had two very demure little girls and they were precious and they had on their perfect little dresses and their perfect little lacy things. And I mean, I had Kate, who apparently needed to be on a select softball team at age eight, I mean, or seven. And so she was wild and Brett cried a lot. And I don't know, I just never felt good enough. And I felt like this mom, I didn't feel it. This mom commented a lot on how my kids were harder. They were a handful. And I went on with this for a couple of years, and then I realized like I'm parenting my kids differently, harder, harsher. I'm judging myself harsher based on her comments or her judgment over them. And I thought, you know what? She's a great girl. She loves the Lord. I'll spend all eternity with her, but that ain't for this season. And I went and found people that really could walk the road I'm walking, that were going to support me, that were praying over my kids like I was praying, that were defending my name in rooms I was not in. And I would just say, be picky about the people that you let in the inner circle. There's different times for different friendships, and some work and some don't. And as parenting starts to ebb and flow and you're walking through different seasons, just realize like this may not be a great friendship for now, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about how the friendships are different. Like I remember when they were babies, we could all hang out and the babies would just play. And then as the kids got older, and I had so many of them, it was not enjoyable for me to be with other moms and my kids. So I had to start, okay, if I'm going to hang out with moms, it's going to be without our kids. And it's going to be at night or on a weekend when Bruce could watch them or whatever. And then, you know, it kind of circles back and you're on the sidelines and you can be with your kids and with moms. And then now I'm finding like I'm really fostering relationships with women that we're about to be empty nested together. And I know that's really painful because you're very far off from being empty.
Yeah, I can't even see the nest from where – there's not even a nest in the zip code from where Cynthia Ganoff is with a third grader.
But, you know, I do think like it's like the kind of – people I'm finding myself back with are actually women I knew when my kids were babies. And it's our relationship wasn't built on our kids. It was on us. And then we happened to have kids. Does that make sense? Yeah,
totally.
I just think there's different friendships. What hosting tip do you have for everybody? Hosts with the mostest.
Do you ask this all the time or is this a Cynthia question?
A Cynthia question.
I love it. I would say I gave some on our other podcast recently, and now I can't remember what they are. So here we are, where it's like a brand new question for me. Welcome to menopause.
Did we mention menopause? Did
we? I don't know. I would say everybody wants to be invited to something, and it doesn't matter if you mix groups. It doesn't matter if, well, this person doesn't know this person, or they used to be friends, or I'm not sure about this. Like everyone wants to be invited and to be seen and to be included. And so I would much rather invite more people and run the risk of maybe it being a touch awkward than not the person who most needed to be invited. And I don't ever want to not have people over because my bar stools are a little shredded, which they are right now, by the way, or because my whatever isn't right. Like, listen, people don't care about that. And if they do, they're not your people. And so I would just say everybody's looking to be seen and acknowledged and invited. And so find ways to do that, whether that's in your home, whether that's at your next birthday party for a kiddo. Invite the kids that wouldn't normally be invited. Like everyone just wants to be seen and known for who they are.
And you had your youngest birthday party coming up. How did that go? Or it just happened?
It was a couple nights ago. Well, let's go full circle back to the beginning of this. You know how you said you were in that dentist office and it was the last day of break and mom was over it? Who in the world thought it was a good – how'd I miss it? How'd I miss that, to go with the title of my book, that I planned his birthday party on the last day of the break? Not only am I sick of my kid, I sure don't want to look at everybody else's kids, and every one of them wild. So all the moms, we just, at some point we were serving cake and they started doing that banging thing. Like, we want food, but they were like, we want to play. We want to play. I'm like, oh, fine. Just go. Nobody cares. So I would
say. You didn't even serve cake. They just went and played.
Nobody ate. I mean, I said, can we just blow out the candle and let me get the picture for the scrapbook I'm never going to do? Can we just get the picture? So that's about how it went. But you know what? He's been celebrated. We invited some kids that wouldn't have otherwise probably been invited. Listen, I'm raising one that probably wouldn't be invited to a lot of these parties. So I feel this deeply. And we did it. The kids were all wild. The moms were glad to have somewhere to go. And then we sent them all back to school. And let me tell you, we love you teachers. Bless you.
We love all the teachers. Yeah, I do agree. Like, that's a great point with the moms who are thrilled that their child was included.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Well, Cynthia, your book, How'd I Miss That? If y'all don't know, if you haven't seen the cover, it's a lovely, what would you say, 1950s, 60s woman?
Yeah, 60s probably.
With the spinach in her teeth, looking in the mirror. So that's about right. Like the most obvious things that we just happen to miss. And if you haven't read one of Cynthia's books before, you're in for a treat. This is not, this is like, fun and funny with a hit of faith in there that you're going to like too. So it's something you're going to enjoy having available to you as you head into your 2026 to just laugh at life. Cause life, that's the thing I've learned with Sidetracked. I meant to say this is I think that knowing Cynthia and doing Sidetracked, it helps me pay attention to the humor in life that I would miss. You know, how'd I miss that? I can get so serious and intentional and like intense that I miss how ridiculous life is, and it brings levity back. So if y'all need some levity in your life, it feels a little intense, especially in the winter when it's the doldrums, grab a copy. The link's in the show notes. And anything you want people to know about the book after, as you've finished it and you see the whole thing?
What I heard you say is if you need somebody to point out the ridiculous, Cynthia's here. And listen, I'm here for that. No, I would just, pre-orders are out. It would mean a lot to me if you would grab a copy. And there's lots of talk about parenting, but lots of talk about faith and marriage and all kinds of things. But more importantly, I just want to make sure this doesn't end without me saying I'm the biggest Heather McFadden fan ever. And she's 500 plus episodes into this podcast. Is that wrong?
Is that right? You're going to be 555.
555. Look at that. And how many years?
12
years.
And a half. And
12 and a half. Okay. Well, I've interviewed a lot of people on my podcast, and I have read a lot of books, done a lot, and you're the real deal, and you do it so well. And it's been fun just to get to know that who you are behind the mic is who you are in real life. And so thanks for just being a good friend and always a cheerleader.
Thank you. Should we invite my community to join us live?
Yes.
Do you think that would be fun? Because I don't often do live events with my community, and they might enjoy getting to chat. So well, y'all, we're going to do it. We're changing the date a little bit. It's going to be, where do we land? January
27th at 7:30 Central Standard Time.
January 27th, 7:30 Central Time. And the way that you get the link is if you go to the show notes and you fill out the Google form with your pre-order order confirmation number, you are invited. And everyone loves to be invited. So consider this your invitation.
What are they invited to?
To talking with us.
Oh, I was just making sure that was clear. Yes, we're going to literally
go live.
You can ask anything you want to ask. We may not answer, but we will surely be fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's always a good time. And again, if you haven't gone over and listened to Sidetracked, what's going on?
Yeah, check it out.
That's the best thing. Best free thing in your life is Sidetracked. Thanks, Cynthia, for joining me and providing your wisdom and parenting perspective. We all appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, y'all, for listening. Make sure you check out that link in the show notes if you want to join Cynthia and I for a little chat in January 27th. Let me pray for us. Lord, as we head into this new year, and we know that you are the same God who has been and will be and who is with us in moments to moment strength and comfort. Lord, I thank you that no matter what we've done as parents and mistakes we've made, that they're never outside of your redeeming hand. I pray, Lord, that you would give us eternal perspective as we go throughout our days, because we can get so caught up in things that don't matter, the things that we think are going to impress others or make our kids look good or make us look good, or just even our hearts that really desire amazing grown-ups, adults, kids of character who love you, and how we can get that twisted and think that's all up to us. Or may we keep our eyes fixed on you and trust you. And when we feel confused or struggle with a decision with our kids, that we would come to you and that we would pray over them, that we would, you know, even in the moments of, let's say, throwing a birthday party, that we would ask you, who do you want me to invite? Or maybe it's a dinner party, or maybe it's just, who do you need me to see right now? And how can I show them your love? And so, Lord, more than anything in 2026, may we partner with you. May we hand over our trying to micromanage our kids and our parenting and spend more time with you and getting your perspective on what you're doing in our kids' lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, I'll meet you back here next week. You kind of heard who my guest is going to be. Max Lucado is joining us, and I'm excited. He's such a dear. And so love any time I get to chat with him. Make sure, you know, what would be great is if you have a favorite episode you've listened to, or I don't know, some of you are like, I'm always telling people about the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you could keep doing that, for some reason, it just seems like, I don't know, it's harder and harder these days to reach the people who really need to hear truth. And there's so many people who are starving for just some encouragement. And so maybe that'll be your thing. God, who can I share this show with so that they could be encouraged and be less alone, right? That's the goal. Okay. Happy New Year. Talk soon. Adios. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone, because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.